With SRN News, I'm John Scott. Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer says her state needs the federal government to provide not only more test kits and masks, but also clear guidance on how to best to fight the spread of the coronavirus. Whitmer says she's implementing a stay-at-home order to curb the spread.
We must do more to curtail community spread so our health system has a fighting chance. Today I'm issuing a stay-home, stay-safe executive order for all Michiganders, and it goes into effect just after midnight tonight for at least the next 3 weeks.
Meanwhile, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says states are competing with each other for ventilators and bidding up prices for supplies.
Why are we competing? Let the federal government put in place the Federal Defense Production Act. It does not nationalize any industry.
New York Governor Andrew Cuomo. Also at SRNnews.com, new concerns about the coronavirus on Capitol Hill. Bob Agnew has more in this report.
It's becoming clear members of the U.S. Senate are not immune to COVID-19. Republicans began the week with a much slimmer majority with five members in self-quarantine, including Kentucky Senator Rand Paul, who's tested positive. Paul drawing fire from some colleagues on both sides of the aisle for engaging in activities, including a workout on Sunday morning in the Senate gym, all while awaiting his coronavirus test results. Republican Senator Rob Portman of Ohio and Democrat Dick Durbin of Illinois among those pushing Leader McConnell to allow televoting to minimize the risk. Bob Agnew, New Capitol Hill.
A senior State Department official says now that nearly 14,000 American citizens are stranded abroad because of the pandemic, and they're seeking help in returning home to the U.S. Since late January, over 5,000 Americans have been evacuated from 17 countries. On Wall Street, the Dow is down 596 points. This is SRN News.
For your Monday afternoon, a mix of sun and clouds with a slight chance of scattered showers, high 88. Tonight, partly cloudy, expect low 64. Tuesday, mostly sunny with a high up to 87. Tuesday night, mostly clear skies, low 65. Wednesday, mostly sunny with a slight chance of showers, continued warm with a high 90. And Thursday, sunny, high 87.
Many families do home renovation from time to time, but you may need a family renovation. Next time on Focus on the Family, how to build strong character traits like kindness, love, forgiveness, and fun into your family relationships. Provide a solid, godly foundation for your home on the next Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to SWAT Radio. Brad Sykes alongside Doug McCary from His Light. And we are glad to be coming to you live from the Salem Center in Jacksonville, Florida, where coronavirus, COVID-19 is really happening here. Doug, how are you, brother?
Well, there you go. Steve, are you good, man? Wow, Steve just woke up. Believe it or not, a lot of programming has gone recorded because of the virus thing. And Steve, our faithful producer, is still producing, and we're still here. And we hope to be an encouragement to you this week as we, you know, we're kind of departing from Hebrews this week, and we are going to be going into Daniel. Actually, Daniel 3, but to get to Daniel 3, you got to go through 1 and 2, and it's a great, encouraging book of the Bible. Especially the first six chapters are just really, really encouraging when you're dealing with stuff going on in your world that is shaking your world upside down. Nobody, I mean, you know, our world is shook upside down because the stock market's down, because we're stranded at home. Most of the people I know personally around are still eating. They still have food. They still have shelter. They still have vehicles. They still have ways to get around. And, you know, for the most part, people are stepping up and being kind neighbors and good neighbors and stuff like that. But when you look at the book of Daniel, and we're going to get into it later in the second, we'll start getting into it later, is, you know, Daniel and his three friends, Mishael, Hananiah, and Azariah, were all stripped out of their native country. Their families were either imprisoned or beaten or killed. And they were made to work for the people that were doing that. And, and they were just brought into pretty much a form of slavery to be trained, but trained to serve the very people that did all that bad stuff to their country. And it's really got some encouraging scripture in there, truth for us. And so, our world, I've had conversations in the last few days with people who have never talked to me about the Bible before. They've asked, what do you think about this? Is this one of the plagues mentioned in Revelation? Is this one of the, you know, what's going on? All of a sudden, if you go on Netflix, Hulu, whatever it is, you see this rash of pandemic movies, you know, whether it's Contagion, Outbreak, World War Z, you know, exactly. I mean, there's all these things. And so I was talking to a friend before I got here today about the one thing that's apparent is not since World War II has our culture, our government culture, our neighborhood culture, our community culture, our state culture, has it been disrupted this bad since World War II? Mm-hmm. I mean, think about that. I mean, that was back in the 40s, so that's 70-something years ago. And, I mean, you got people who, you know, they've been out of work or they're not working. They're shutting everything down. They've shut down the beaches. You know, Brad, the beaches, if you try to go to Atlantic Beach, Neptune Beach, Jacksonville Beach, Daytona Beach, they've got police tape up and barricades. You can't get out there.
Well, you know, I actually went down to South Ponte Vedra, way down South Ponte Vedra on Saturday evening. And I think Saturday had come out that the beaches were closed. Now, apparently in St. John's County, they weren't, at least at that time, because Michler's beach down there was slammed. There were cars everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that kind of interesting that, listen, people will rebel given the opportunity. And, I haven't seen the beach that crowded down there in a long time.
Well, there's a lot going on where people are doing different things this week. In fact, you know, because we can't do SWAT meetings live, obviously, we're going to do Zoom SWAT for guys that are in the SWAT groups, who receive the emails, and they're going to join us by Zoom, and we're going to do an online SWAT meeting on Wednesday. We may have to do one Thursday, too, because I don't know if I can get everybody in on one meeting, but the people all over the world, there was a guy in Italy who was a poet who put his cell phone number on social media and said, just call me. I want to talk to somebody because he was so lonely. And he said, I'm available every morning from 9 until noon. He puts this out on social media, right? And he's gotten more than 100 calls from all over the world.
Really?
That have come in. But think about that. People just taking the time to call. So, listen, if you want to talk to Brad, his cell phone number is... No, but that's people good. Isn't that funny? People are doing that.
Well, you know, Doug... As I was driving over here, I had to go run an errand. You know, it's interesting how just a simple errand that you would do on any normal day, you have to think twice about whether you're going to do that errand or not.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I think I'm trying to look it up right now. My wife has been posting for the last 6 days on social media. Neither one of us are super active on social media, but she decided, because we are kind of confined to the house, she would try to engage. Similar to, she hasn't put her phone number out there or anything, but
One of the things that she decided she would do is during this season or this pandemic that we're going through, she would commit to pray every day. She'd have a different topic or a different group of people that she was going to pray for. And today, I mean, it was kind of interesting that today she put up there, and it's called Keeping It in Perspective, Day 7. And it says, today I had to go to 3 different stores before I could find a thermometer. And if I'm being transparent, she said, I wanted to cry. I had that exasperated, what the heck am I supposed to do feeling. Thankfully, I secured the very last one on the shelf at my final stop. No tears were shed. She said, so today I'm praying for everyone who suffers from anxiety and depression. Listen, whatever it is you're going through, there's other people who've been through it. And as a church, I always appreciate even what Joby said last week, our guest, is that church isn't a building. Church is people.
Mm-hmm.
And we're here. Yeah, you and I are in studio with Steve here. We'd love to take your calls. If you want to call, 844-777-7928. We'd love to hear from you, tell you, you know, maybe we can pray for you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, anyway, it's just different things that are going on in our day. You know, like one of the things she had in day 5, keeping in perspective, was praying for the elderly. Everybody, whoever's listening to us right now has somebody elderly in their life
mm-hmm.
who is experiencing, as you said, something none of us have ever experienced. I mean, not since World War II have we seen this kind of really just a widespread fear that's gripped our country.
Well, for those of you out there who are struggling with maybe fear, some of you may be fearful of getting the virus. Some of you may be fearful of what the virus has done.
Stocks, the economy, and
just the economy, businesses. Let me encourage you that, you know, God is not surprised by any of this. And, you know, how are we to respond as believers? Well, the first thing that we have to do is keep our eyes on Jesus and not on the circumstance itself. It doesn't mean you ignore the circumstance, but it means that you see the circumstance through the lens of the hope that we have in Christ, that he is 24/7 interceding for his children in the throne room, which means you can go to the Father at any time, if you're his child, anytime you can go to him with your fear, you can take it to him. And, you know, later this week, I'm going to hit on John 14, where he says, don't let your heart be troubled. Mm-hmm. Twice in that passage, mm-hmm. he says, don't let your heart be troubled. And you got to remember, Jesus had walked with the disciples for, you know, 3 years almost. And then he says, I'm going to leave you. And they were panicked in the same way a lot of people today are. And, you know, one of the things that I appreciated about what Joby said last week, he was our guest Thursday. By the way, real quick, if you're just tuning in to SWAT Radio for the first time, SWAT stands for Spiritual Warriors Advancing Truth. Every Thursday, we typically do a interview. And then last week, we did one on Friday as well. We had Dr. Christy Reisinger on Friday. We had Joby Martin on Thursday. Both really good interviews. If you want to listen to those, you can go to SWATradio.com on demand. And go to last week, I think it's week 112, go to the last 2 episodes, and you can hear Joby and from 1122, the Church of 1122, and you can hear Dr. Reisinger. Dr. Reisinger gave great info on the coronavirus from a medical professional who really, it was a good interview. But Joby, when we were interviewing him, he said, you know, Satan's always wanting to get us away from the Word of God, the work of God, and the will of God. And God is not surprised by this stuff. And as we go through our week, let your eyes stay fixed on Jesus and let him take you to places where you can be his kingdom priest mm-hmm. to the world around you. There are so many opportunities. And when people ask you why you're doing it, say, because I serve Jesus. That's why.
Amen. Glad you joined us again. Call us 844-777-777. 7928. We'll be right back.
This program has the potential to reach millions of men each week. If you'd like to learn how you can support this unique program that is helping men understand the truth about Jesus through God's Word and how to impact their lives and the lives of others, then go to www.swatradio.com. Then click on the donate link to help SWAT Radio pass on the truth for the next generation. SWAT Radio is underwritten in part by The Guardian Group. You know Brad Sykes as the co-host of SWAT Radio. While Brad is committed to making disciples both on and off the air, his ministry extends into the marketplace as a licensed real estate agent with Keller Williams Southside. Brad and his wife Vicki are real estate agents in Northeast Florida and are the founding partners of The Guardian Group. They help people buy, sell, and invest in real estate. The Guardian Group, with offices near Butler and Southside Boulevards, 904-580-7255. And online at guardiangroupjax.com. The Guardian Group, happy to bring you SWAT Radio on the truth.
SWAT Radio is brought to you in part by Ace Door and Window Service, Inc. Ace Door and Window Service, Inc. is a full-service sales door and window installation company. Both of the owners are licensed contractors and are involved in the daily operations of the company. All of their trucks are company-owned and fully equipped. Their mission is to provide Jacksonville and the surrounding area with door and window replacement services. To learn more, call 904-701-3667. That's 904-701-DOOR. Or online at www.acedoor.com.
Where it began, I can't begin to know it, but then I know it's growing strong. Was in the spring, and spring became the summer. Who'd have believed you'd come along? Washing hands, reaching out, don't touch me, I won't touch you, sweet Caroline, good times never seem so good.
Welcome back to SWAT Radio. We've got to find a little levity in the situation.
That was
in the
Neil Diamond singing "Hands Washing Hands, Hands Sweet Caroline."
You know, it made me think. So, as I was you two guys here in studio can probably testify to this. Do you find yourself watching the things that you touch? You know, whether it's a door handle, are you gripping the door handle differently? Are there things that you're doing today that you weren't doing 2 weeks ago? Let me just be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Are you doing that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm washing my hands more, that's for sure. I'm watching what I grab a hold of. I'm not touching my face anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know about you guys.
The only thing is he ought to change it from Sweet Caroline to Sweet Quarantine.
That's what I thought. Sweet Corona.
Yeah.
So here's my connection with the things that you're doing differently. Interesting how a virus like this changes some of the disciplines in your life that are very simple.
Yeah.
Think about it spiritually. What are you doing differently now that you're maybe quarantined? Any new disciplines in your life? If you're listening, any new disciplines of getting in the Word,
yeah,
spending time in prayer?
Yeah.
You know, somebody sent me a message the other day. They've been looking at old hymns, singing old hymns.
Yeah.
And just kind of interesting, you know, in light of all this, it's interesting how our disciplines change.
Well, it's so funny, you know, how when you're going through, listen, first of all, I just want to say, to be a public official during a pandemic or something on this magnitude would be very difficult, right? Because you're giving a lot of press conferences. Everybody's asking you hard questions. It's stressful, right? And you say things, and you know what you mean in your head, and sure. You've done this before. I have. Steve's done it. We've all done it. But Trump the other day said, people are dying who've never died before. I mean, think about that. I mean, just think about that. It's just funny, you know?
I'll leave that one.
I mean, you know, it's
just
funny.
Like something Trump might have
said.
Well,
no, that's it's just funny because people, yeah. I mean, what he was saying is people who would not normally have died
right.
are dying
sure,
from
no,
this.
Absolutely.
And so he's saying we need to take it serious. And that's what he was trying to say. But again, when you're doing that, I would not want everything I said to be put out there like that.
But I often hesitate sending people to our podcast because you may have to go listen to us be stupid again. But
yeah.
Hey, I know you probably read it. I thought the Denison Forum this morning, this was amazing. He said it's natural for finite creatures to fear an enemy that threatens us physically, economically, and globally. Hmm. It is also natural for fallen people to react to what we cannot control by controlling what we can.
Mm-hmm.
Thus, people are hoarding supplies and lashing out at those they perceive to be threats to them. It says, fear that prompts us to do what is irrational and hurtful is addressed directly by Scripture. God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control, 2 Timothy 1:7. God's word adds, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, 1 John 4:18.
Mm-hmm.
And I love this. David testified, I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Mm-hmm. Psalm 34:4. What a great, those three verses. You want to memorize some scripture? There's three really powerful verses
mm-hmm.
that whatever you're going through, whether you're fearful of the stock market, you're fearful of your health, you know, physically, economically, globally, spiritually, emotionally, man, go memorize those. 2 Timothy 1:7, 1 John 4:18, and Psalm 34:4.
Well, this whole week, we're kind of focused on what do you do when your world falls apart? And one of the things is you have to keep perspective because if you look back throughout human history, pandemics like the one we are experiencing right now throughout history have killed approximately the population of the United States. Now, just think about that throughout history. And so what does God have to do, Brad? Think back. Let's go all the way back to the promise he made to Abraham back in Genesis chapter 12. Back when he called Abraham, he says, I'm going to bless you. Through you, all the families of the earth are going to be blessed. Now, think about what took place after that promise. All right? Think about Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
Esau wanted to kill Jacob. God didn't let him. He didn't let him. He preserved. Even though Jacob tricked his brother and Esau probably could have very easily killed him, just like Cain killed Abel, God protected him.
Yep.
All right? Then you have Jacob has these 12 sons and, you know, in the 12 sons, one of them was more loved at least than the other ones. And he let them know that. And the brothers wanted to kill the very son that was going to provide life for the people of Israel.
Mm.
But God was there. He was sovereign through that. And then, after those people were delivered, then they were enslaved. They weren't wiped out, even though Pharaoh said, take all the baby boys and put in the water. They weren't wiped out. God preserved Moses and others, and then he continued to preserve. Think about all the kings, all the enemies of Israel, and God continued to deliver until the one named Jesus was born who would deliver us all for eternity. And God, throughout history, has always preserved a remnant of his people to be a witness, to testify of how awesome he is and who Jesus is. And as we look at this pandemic, you know, we tend to get focused in on it, and we forget that last year or 2 years ago in 2018, there were over 400,000 deaths from malaria. There were 228 million cases of malaria in the world, and almost 500,000. Think about that. And half the world's population, almost 3 billion people, were at risk. But you don't see people panicking over that, right?
Well, you know, the bubonic plague from 1347 to 1351, 200 million dead.
Yeah.
Just put that in perspective.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. So you got, well, think about even the AIDS. When we had AIDS, almost 38 million people around the world. Back in 2018, that's just 2 years ago, there was 1.7 million new people infected. And so when you think about that and how global we are as a world, you know, a pandemic is going to spread, right? It's just part of it. We've had pandemics before. We've had, you know, the Spanish flu. We've had SARS. We've had MERS.
Spanish flu, by the way, 40 to 50 million it killed.
Yeah. So, you know, but think about it. When they had the smallpox, that's when they invented vaccinations. And today, most of us have never even blinked. When you hear smallpox, you don't think anything of it.
No, exactly.
Because we've developed something. Think about all the minds that are going to this. Now, God is obviously in control. The doctors, the researchers, they're not the ones who will find a cure. They will be the instruments that God allows to work it out. But God made everything that there is, right? When Jesus spoke the world into existence, he spoke everything into existence. Or God, you know, it's all there. And so the Lord created the heavens and the earth. He spoke it in, and so he made everything. And so he's in charge of everything. And I think sometimes we start to think that the doctors are the only one that can save us. And we start to look to them. And the other thing, we learn this in hurricanes, that the world is a broken place, right? And so what we're seeing now is whether it's the brokenness of the stock market, because all these people are just watching their retirements and everything else shrink. The world's broken. When human beings chose to sin, it brought death and destruction like a snowball rolling down a hill, gobbling up everything in its path. And it's only by the grace of God that any of us enjoy anything.
Yeah.
And we don't deserve any of it. And the third thing is God will use disease and disaster as judgment against sin. I'm not saying he's doing that, but he has in the past. Sure. And so at the very least, we should be crying out to God because, one, he's the only one that can deliver us. Donald Trump ain't going to deliver you, people. His team ain't going to deliver us. The only one that can deliver us is God the Father. And if we ought to be crying out to him, asking him to intervene into this broken world because of his glory. I remember some of the prayers in the Old Testament where Moses or David, for your glory, God, for your glory, deliver us, deliver your people, you know, show us. And I think about that man, that pastor over in Myanmar, who for 12 hours held on to a tree during the middle of the worst, you know, typhoons in history, wiped out his whole village. But him and seven other believers were preserved up there because God, as he was praying, moved him to climb that tree and encourage his people. And they did it and they lived. God, deliver us. Deliver your people. Give us wisdom. Let us serve you as your people always have. Yeah. So,
amen. By the way, I love this quote by C.S. Lewis. Those who want heaven most have served earth best. Those who love man less than God do most for man. Great word. We'll be right back. SWAT Radio.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. A senior State Department official says nearly 14,000 American citizens stranded abroad because of the coronavirus pandemic are seeking help in returning to the United States. About 1,500 are booked on flights in the coming days. Thousands more are expected to return on State Department-arranged flights in the coming weeks. Since late January, over 5,000 Americans have been evacuated from 17 countries. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo has left Afghanistan without saying whether he was able to broker an agreement between the country's squabbling political leaders there. He was in Kabul on an urgent visit to try to move forward a U.S. peace deal that was signed last month with the Taliban. On Wall Street, stocks remain lower, the Dow off 802 points, the NASDAQ is down 119. This is SRN News.
There's some delays because of a crash on I-95 northbound near Dunn Avenue on the north side. Also another crash, I-95 northbound between Southside Boulevard and Bay Meadows Road. And there's a broken down vehicle on the east beltway on 295 northbound at the Dames Point Bridge, blocking the right lane. Partly cloudy tonight, expect a low 64. Tuesday, mostly sunny, high up to 87.
I'm more resourceful than I thought.
My suit can still make an impression.
My video games are still game changers.
And my lamp can bring others a bright future.
Because when I donate my stuff to Goodwill,
it helps fund job placement and training for people right in my community.
Now my stuff gets a second chance.
And will give someone in my community
a second chance too.
Goodwill. Donate stuff. Create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. That's goodwill.org. This message brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
The name is Jesus Christ.
There is good news for the captive, good news for the shame. There is good news for the world who walked away. There is good news for the doubter, the one religion failed. For the good Lord has come to seek and save. He's our
Hey, welcome back to SWAT Radio. Brad and Doug here on this Monday afternoon. We're glad you joined us. If you want to call, we are live today, 844-777-7928. Now, if you're listening by recording, what is today, March 23rd? Isn't it interesting, Doug, in the midst of all this, it seems like this has been going on for a long time. Mm-hmm. We've been basically, you and I, heard that the TPC was canceled last Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about you. It seems like a month ago.
Well, you know what? I was talking with Lori the other day about when we first talked about the coronavirus on air was back in February. Mm-hmm. When it was in China. And so it's been going on. It's going to be going on for a while. So what do you do as a believer? What do you do out there? Yeah, keep your eyes on Jesus. Practically, what are we to be doing? Well, one of the things that we need to do is what Paul said when he was struggling with the thorn in his flesh is he wanted to see how God could continue to grow him spiritually. He wanted God to grow him through that suffering. And he said, you know, he learned to boast
mm-hmm.
because in that weakness, he saw that the power of Christ was resting upon him. So if you get sick or, you know, if somebody who gets sick, then pray for them, turn to God, ask him for help, ask him for strength, learn to depend on him. Ask him to show you how to serve others and how you can grow. Charles Spurgeon said that, "I'm certain that I never did grow in grace one half so much anywhere as I have upon the bed of pain." I'm going to say that again. Charles Spurgeon said that he never did grow in grace one half as much anywhere as he did upon the bed of pain. Mm. And so we tend to grow. And, you know, that's one of the reasons I want us to look at this passage in Daniel, because I don't know a lot of people, maybe you're not familiar with the story. Maybe you're familiar with Daniel in the lion's den. Maybe you're familiar with the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Their Hebrew names was Mishael, Hananiah, and Azariah, but they were all buddies. And they were around during the time of Jeremiah. They would have been listening to the prophet Jeremiah, and they were taken into captivity. And as they were taken into captivity in Babylon, it was punishment. And a lot of people don't dig enough in the Old Testament to see what happened to the children of Israel, why they were there. All they see is kind of like the cliff notes. Okay, Daniel's here. Right. This is what happens. But it's really important, Brad, I think, for us to understand what's going on. And so as we look at the first chapter of Daniel, just to give a little bit of background, Daniel and his friends were exiled to Babylon about 600 years before Christ. So 600 years before Christ, Daniel and his friends were brought into Nebuchadnezzar's court. Nebuchadnezzar was the king of Babylon, was one of the great world leaders at that time. All right, when Persia conquered Babylon back in about 539, Daniel was given a position of power there. He remained faithful to God. As far as I know, nothing negative was ever said about Daniel in the Bible, ever. He's one of the few guys that you don't, we know he was human and flawed, but you just, nothing said that way about him. But he interpreted dreams, and, you know, he was in the lion's den because he refused to bow down to something that was trying to keep him from worshiping God. And he was used by God in very supernatural ways. But we got to go back to the beginning, where it chapter 1, just to read the first part of it, and if you will, Brad, just read down to maybe verse number 6, or just read the first 7 verses. Just go ahead and read that.
Of Daniel chapter 1?
Yep.
Yeah, it says, "In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylonia and put in the treasure house of his God. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that, they were to enter the king's service. Among those who were chosen were some from Judah: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names. To Daniel, the name Belteshazzar. To Hananiah, Shadrach. To Mishael, Meshach. And to Azariah, Abednego."
So here's what's going on. They have been brought into the king's service.
Captured, basically.
Yeah, captured. Mm-hmm. Their families were either killed, murdered, or left behind. Their sisters would have been raped or killed. And they're brought to serve the very ones who did all that evil. And you go, why would God allow that? Mm. These are his people. They're from the tribe of Judah. Well, to know why they were in Babylon, you have to go back to the book of Leviticus. Now, most people don't like spending a lot of time in Leviticus because it's a bunch of laws. It's a bunch of legal stuff. But flip back there real quick to Leviticus 25. I just want to read a couple of verses for you. Leviticus 25, verse 3. Listen to what God says through Moses to his people. For 6 years you will sow your field. That means you will plant. For 6 years you will prune your vineyard and gather its fruit. But in the seventh year there will be a Sabbath of solemn rest for the land, a Sabbath to the Lord. You will not sow your field or prune your vineyard. You will not reap what grows of itself in your harvest or gather the grapes of your undressed vine. It will be a year of solemn rest for the land. So for 6 years, the people of Israel were supposed to work their land.
Mm-hmm.
But the seventh year, they didn't work it. And you go, well, why? How are we going to eat if we don't work the land? Well, you got to go to verse 26 of chapter 25, same chapter, verse 26. Listen to what God told him. He said, 25, verse 20. He says, if you say, what shall we eat in the seventh year? Because that would have been a natural question, mm-hmm. right? If we may not sow or gather in our crops, he says, I will command my blessing on you in the sixth year, so that it will produce a crop sufficient for not two, but for 3 years. Hmm. When you sow in the eighth year, you will be eating some of the old crop. You shall eat the old until the ninth year when its crops arrive. So God not only gave them for the next year, he gave them for 2 years.
2 years. Mm-hmm.
And so he's telling them, I'm going to do this to take care of you. And what did they do? They violated the Sabbath. They worked the field like it never even, God never said anything to them. And if you go to chapter 26, verse 33, he says, and I will scatter you among the nations, and I will unsheath the sword after you. Your land will be desolate. Your cities will be a waste. Then the land will enjoy its Sabbaths as long as it lies desolate. While you are in your enemy's land, then the land will rest and enjoy its Sabbaths. As long as it lies desolate, it will have rest, the rest that it did not have on your Sabbaths when you were dwelling in it. Hmm. So he's warning them this is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So now you go to 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verse 20. And listen to what it says. Now, remember, Chronicles lays out the whole history, right? So this is looking back on what it says. And it says, he took into exile in Babylon those who escaped from the sword. They became servants to him and to his sons until the establishment of the kingdom of Persia, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed its Sabbaths. All the days that it lay desolate, it kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. Because you know what? They didn't keep that mm-hmm. many Sabbath mm-hmm. years. Isn't that crazy?
Crazy.
So that's why they were there. They were there. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were there because their fathers and their fathers' fathers and their fathers' fathers' fathers did not obey the voice of the Lord. And here they are. But you know what God does? He says, you know what? These boys are my remnant.
Yeah.
And I'm going to use them, and I'm going to put myself on display through them. Mm. And so when you get frustrated and you look around and you go, man, the world's falling apart, you got to remember God's plan is unfolding. His plan, he told them what was going to happen. Mm. They didn't listen. But Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, I'm sure they weren't enjoying life,
right?
But God had them right where he wanted. And folks, he's got us right where he wants us right now, 2020, March the 23rd. He wants us right here. And I hope that you're not letting the enemy drive you away from his word, away from his work, or away from his will. You know, and as we come back, we're going to look at what happened with Daniel and his three friends, because the king wanted them to eat, and go against God's word. But because they knew his word, they said no. They didn't make the same mistakes their fathers had made. And God blesses them. And when we come back, we're going to look at that.
Yeah. Glad you joined us. If you want to call, 844-777-7928. SWAT Radio will be right back.
If you'd like to contact SWAT Radio, the toll-free number is 1-844-777-7928. That's 844-777-7928 or 844-777-SWAT. You can also listen to this program through the WTRJ The Truth app from the App Store or over the Internet by accessing www.swatradio.com. We'll be back shortly for further discussion and to take your calls.
We're so grateful for having people like Tom Neal Truck Company sponsoring SWAT Radio. Tom Neal Truck Company is located at 417 Edgewood Avenue South in Jacksonville, Florida. Tom Neal is a full-service franchise truck dealer for Freightliner, Western Star, Volvo, Isuzu, and Sprinter vans, offering new and used truck sales, service, parts and truck rental and leasing to the North Florida and South Georgia truck market. More information on Tom Neal Truck Company is located at www.tomneal.com. That's www.tomneal.com.
Give me your heart, give me your song, sing it with all your might. Come to the fountain and you can be satisfied. There is a peace, there is a love. He testified into the wild canyons of youth. Oh, there's a world to fall into. Weightless will dance like kids on the moon. Oh, I will give myself to you as soon as you start.
Hey, welcome back to SWAT Radio. Brad and Doug here on this Monday afternoon. That is Testify by Need to Breathe. Doug, that's one of my favorite ones they do. I just think it's, well, in light of what we're talking about even here today, come to the fountain and you can be satisfied. Listen, your fountain isn't Wall Street.
No.
It's not the 401k. It's not even your favorite presidential candidate. Mm. The fountain is Christ. Like Jesus said, man cannot live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Brad, I love that you and I talk a lot about the Old Testament. We love, I mean, you got to remember that the Old Covenant, the Old Testament books, that was the Bible for God's people during the time of the birth of the church. They didn't have all the letters yet. They didn't have them assembled yet. Their scriptures pointed forward to Christ. And what he's showing in Daniel here in this thing about Babylon is that, you know, God had told his people that I want you to be different. I don't want you to go out and work the field 7 days. It's not that they couldn't do it. He just said, I don't want you to do that.
Right. It's not what's best for
it's
you.
It's not. I want you to take a year and give the land rest. It's not that the land, but I just want you to, it's what God wanted.
Mm-hmm.
This was not optional. And that's a problem I think we have a lot of times with Christians today is we treat God's words as if they're optional for us. And he said, no, this is something that you're going to do. If you don't do this, there's going to be consequences. And so, but here's what's so great. So Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, they're brought in. Now, I just want you to think for a second. For us to really understand what's going on. Okay, imagine let's just take, we'll take China. We'll just say, let's say this whole COVID-19 thing, and this is not a conspiracy theory. This is just an analogy. But let's say they use this to somehow subvert us. They came in here. They conquered our army. They took over, instituted martial law, and they took us away. They took our children away to their country and started indoctrinating them into their government service.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I want you to imagine what the children might feel. But notice how Daniel and his three friends respond. You see, verse 8 says that Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself. Do you know who did defile himself? Was their ancestors, their grandfathers. They didn't honor the Sabbath, but Daniel had said no. Why? Daniel had listened to Jeremiah, you know?
Let me interrupt you just for a second, because I think there's a key word in verse 8, resolved. Daniel resolved.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, what do you think of when you think of resolved? It's almost like before it ever happens, you've made the decision what you're going to do. Mm-hmm. That idea of resolve is something you've already concluded how you're going to respond to a certain situation.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that Daniel even knew what the situation was going to be, but he had resolved not to defile himself.
Yeah, you're exactly right. He had resolved that he would not violate Leviticus 11 or Deuteronomy 14. He wanted to obey and honor the God of all creation, even in the midst of his suffering.
Yeah, and that's what stands out to me just right there, is that have I resolved in my heart that whatever this corona or COVID-19 does, whatever circumstances play out, have I resolved to honor the Lord in the midst of it?
Are we prepared to be like Job, who in the midst of his pain says, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord. It is his. It is all his. See, we don't own anything. And Daniel goes into this awful situation with his friends, and he resolved not to defile himself. But notice how he responds. He's not arrogant. He is not mean-spirited. He simply asks, and the words there says he asked. That means in a polite and tactful way. He asked the chief of the eunuchs who were in charge of him to allow him not to defile himself. He went to him and he asked him. And then in verse 9 it says, and God gave Daniel favor.
Yeah.
Anytime, listen, let me ask you a question, Brad. Have you ever had a disagreement with an airline or a disagreement with a hotel or a disagreement with a car rental place or a disagreement with a boss, and you're sitting there trying to figure out how to establish your point and make it, when the first place we ought to go is, God, give me favor with this person.
Hmm. Hmm.
Have you? I'm telling you, when I do that,
yeah,
it calms my spirit and helps me know that he's in charge.
Yeah, it's not a natural tendency of mine.
Well, it's not a natural tendency of ours at all. Yeah,
because we're far more reactive than we are what Daniel was resolved. That it's knowing that trials are going to come, whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
And how are you going to respond? Are you going to go to the Lord and ask for favor?
Mm-hmm.
Or are you just going to react?
Well, Proverbs 21:1 says, the king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he wills. If the king's heart is a stream, what about the other people, the people who aren't even kings? You think this, really, parents, if you could explain this to your children, I think it would be very helpful too. Because I don't think I did a good enough job of training my children in this. I wish I'd have done better, to be honest with you, Brad, that if you can show your children how much you love the Lord and that you trust in God's sovereignty, and teach them and train them that if they really want something, the best thing they can do is go to God about it, and hopefully God would change our hearts as parents. Mm. And if God doesn't change our hearts, then to trust that he doesn't want them to have it. See, instead of making it about us as parents, or whether you're a boss, it doesn't matter. If you can get whoever you're leading and shepherding to understand that God's sovereign, people get so angry when they don't get their way. But I tell you, if you can pray and you know that God's in control, and you pray and ask and you don't get it, then he doesn't want you to have it. Mm. It took me a long time, and I still struggle with it, but I've come a long way from where I used to be, that if I pray and I ask God for something and he doesn't get it, even if it's painful, it means he wants you to endure whatever that is. I'm sure these boys probably prayed for God to deliver them, and they saw God bring them into captivity.
Mm-hmm.
But here he is. It says he gave him favor and compassion in the sight of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief said, I fear my lord the king who assigned your food and your drink. Why should we see that you were in, why should he see that you're in worse condition than the other youths who are your own age? So basically, Daniel says this, test your servants, verse 12. He says, you know what? I've got faith that God's going to take care of us, so test him. And so that's what happened. You go through the rest of the chapter. It basically says the steward took away their food, gave them vegetables. And as for these four youth, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, it says God gave them learning and skill in all literature and wisdom. Daniel had understanding. So God just poured out his blessings on these youth. Why? Because God wanted them to be a witness of his glory to these people. And at the and the king spoke with them, and he says, among all of them, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore, they stood before the king. Look at where they had to go, Brad, before they got before the king, though.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't start off in a great place. But you know what they did? They were people of conviction, and they were people of integrity. And you know what? If you want God to lead you, then you need to be in his word. They knew his word, and they said, we're not going to be defiled by this.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't going to let this, they weren't going to let the enemy take away God's work. They knew that for them to serve God meant to be obedient to his commands. That you can't say, yeah, I'm serving God, and then you go live your life like you want to. To serve him means to know him and to obey his commands.
Well, it goes to the idea of if he's Savior, he has to be Lord.
Hmm.
He's Lord, he's Savior. Is he Lord of your life in every area of your life?
He's King. Yep. He is King. And, you know,
and I was going to say this earlier. I think we love to label things. Well, we're under grace.
Mm-hmm.
You sure are. And you know what? You can do what you want to do. But as you said, there will be consequences.
Well, there's consequences and there's discipline for God's children, and he wants us to obey. But look, think back to Joseph. Joseph was way before Daniel. Mm-hmm. Think back to Joseph. Mm-hmm. And now look at Daniel. Both these guys said, you know what? We want to honor God. Joseph said, I'm not going to sleep with this woman. She's not my wife. Daniel says, I'm not going to eat this food because God says not to. Both of them, it says, God gave them favor with the things they were doing. And look at this. It says the king found them 10 times better than all the others. You think they were a witness? Do you think they put God on display?
Big time.
Listen, folks, this is not a name it, claim it thing at all. This is simply saying, look to God. You know, I listened to what Joby said last week. He said, I don't even know how this happened. But, you know, you and I spent time with him here. He kept giving credit to God the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
He knew it wasn't from him.
Yeah.
He knew it was from God. Yeah. What about you? During the midst of this, keep your eyes fixed on him and listen to his word and do his work and do his will.
Yeah, and he wants to do that through you.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Doug, I'll see you tomorrow. Steve, thanks for your help. Stay safe. SWAT Radio.
If you missed a SWAT Radio broadcast this week and would like to hear any show in its entirety, then go to SWATradio.com. Click on Past Shows, where you can listen to the broadcast. Also, if you're looking for a band of brothers that gather around God's Word to be a part of, then go to SWATradio.com and email one of our hosts, and they can get you plugged in to one of the local SWAT Bible studies. Tune in next time to explore how SWAT Radio is strengthening spiritual...
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online.